322-0089, Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Appalee Cross Appellant versus Beverly Glen Homeowners Association, Appellants Cross Appalees.
Yep, please proceed. Yes.
Thank you, Josh. Good afternoon. May it please the court. I represent the appellant and the cross appellant. One necessary party is not here. Director, secretary, and appellant.
Counsel, we're having difficulty hearing you. Could you stay closer to your microphone, please?
I'm sorry, Judge. I'm using my laptop and I'm not exactly sure where the microphone is, but can you hear me okay now?
I can.
If you get closer to your laptop.
All right, okay. Sorry about that. Nationwide covered action is now moved because the JKL lawsuit, underlying lawsuit that was dismissed on January 27, 2022, prior to the trial court final judgment, and prior to refiling the appeal in this case. The JKL did not appeal their disqualification and dismissal order. The argument that the JKL can simply refile the lawsuit a year from now is ludicrous. This judgment was a judgment on the merit. They didn't have standing to file the lawsuit that they filed. The circuit court was correct when it denied sanctions. They got the right when they denied judgment, Nationwide judgment under pleading with respect to count three based on the policy exception because that was to dispute of the material fact. But they got it wrong when they said that didn't matter. First, the court should not decide an issue or issue an advisory opinion. The act requires three things. One, the plaintiff must have a tangible legal interest. Second, the defendant has opposing interest. And third, there must be a case of controversy between the party during the pendency of the case. We didn't have that here, Judge. Well, additionally, all necessary parties had to be present in the lawsuit. We did not have that in this case. The underlying action, 20L1527,
Get closer to, you're going to have to, with since you don't have a microphone apparently except in your laptop, you're going to have to be closer to your laptop and not turn away from it.
Sure. All right. The action 20L1527.
Okay, we're not hearing you, sir. So,
Justice Holdridge, can I try to give him some direction?
Yeah, go ahead.
Counsel, when you turn your head to the right, we're losing you. I know you're reading off of something. You're going to have to put it in front of you. As long as you keep square to the camera, okay. And you're looking right at us and close, we can hear you. As you turn to the right and try to read off of your papers, we're losing you. So
I think that might be the problem. So I'm going to stay right here, and hopefully that was sort of a problem. Just let me know if you couldn't hear me. One, Judge Kappas already dismissed the underlying lawsuit on January 27, 2022. When Pam Vare and Pam Parsonal, the substitute plaintiff, substituted, Judge Kappas disqualified or dismissed the pro se lawsuit on March 21, 2022. And then Judge Kappas on August 24, 2022, disqualified the underlying substitute plaintiff attorney because he was working with this qualified attorney, Beata Bukanova, to avoid the court orders. So we had no attorney in the underlying lawsuit. So the substitute plaintiff basically voluntarily dismissed it. And that was on September 29, 2022. And we're asking the court, I think we have filed a motion asking the court to take judicial notice of the order in 20L1507, the January 27, March 21, August 24, and September 24 of 2022. This court should also take notice that the underlying lawsuit, that Nationwide lawsuit is predicated on, is no longer existed. It's gone. When a lawsuit is voluntarily dismissed, all prior orders are final and appealable. The JKL did not filed an appeal of the dismissal order. The civil plaintiff also did not appeal their dismissal order. So that is gone. And the Supreme Court, our Supreme Court, is really clear. This court should not decide and issue an advisory opinion when the underlying lawsuit, when the issue no longer exists. They respond with a speculation why they were worried about perhaps Chick-fil-A will refile the lawsuit a year from now. That's just wrong. And Nationwide basically asking the court to ask to issue an advisory opinion to that. This is something that the court should not understand. Now, with respect to the res judicata and collateral estoppel, we're asking the court to apply the doctrine defensively, not offensively, like the trial court did below. The statute is clear. In 18 MR 1123, section 616C, subsection C, allow the plaintiff to amend the complaint before or after the judgment. So in 18 MR 1123, Nationwide had the option to amend the complaint, showing all the parties, all the board directors, if they want to have a judgment against the board directors. I think we point out in our brief, they did try improperly join two board directors, Hal Strader and Kathy Perry, in their motion for summary judgment. And Judge Fullerton didn't allow that. He just entered a judgment with respect to the association alone, the corporation, the name insured of the policy. Now, the Jekyll have had a long history of suing the association, and we listed out in our brief, pushing case number 17SR 10066, before Judge Arsling. A few months later, 18CS 509, before Judge Wynn. And then a few months later, 18MR 1123, which is Judge Fullerton case. And then when they were denied in Fullerton court, they went and filed a new lawsuit. And that is the underlying lawsuit 20L 1507. And that lawsuit triggered Nationwide to file another lawsuit against the association joining all board directors, except one board director, Ina Aponte. And I'll get to Ina Aponte in a minute. I think we discussed it in our brief as well. Ina Aponte is basically a road director. She was working with the Jekyll to sue us. They're working together. She hired an attorney so that they can work together. She was asking us to pay thousands of dollars in her unit, and we said, no, this is not a common area, this is your unit, fixed it. So that's what we have here. And now Nationwide tried to whisk out of this mess by saying, well, look, the policy will cancel. Now, that allegation we pointed out in the brief was factually false. It was never canceled. We knew it. So we have a different policy now, but not with Nationwide. Now, in the insurance cover action, the underlying claimants are always necessary party. So in 18MR 1123, the Jekyll are necessary party. In 20L 1507, before Judge Kappas, the Jekyll are also the necessary party, and then the substitute plaintiff, Ken Posmer and Pam Vare, are necessary. And they will not join in the lawsuit. Second, the trial court should not make any decision that might prejudice the party in the underlying lawsuit or the merits of the underlying claims. That's what we've got here. Judge Fullerton, when he granted judgment to on a pleading with respect to res judicata to Nationwide, he acknowledged there was a material fact, the dispute of facts with respect to count three. He said, no, I cannot decide based on the four corners or the eight corners of the pleadings. So he denied it. But then he said, and that part of it is correct. But then he went on and said, well, that didn't matter, because I already granted judgment Nationwide to the count at gradual stop with respect to count one and count two to Nationwide. So make no difference. You're gone. You're out. That judgment was incorrect because now we have Beata Bogdanova, the Chicago attorney, before she was disqualified. She ran to Judge Kappa's courtroom and said to Judge Kappa, look, I don't have to do anything.
I'm sorry, Judge.
I do apologize for the internet. For some reason, it got disconnected, but I'm back here. So I'm going to finish real quick on my time, Judge, if I may. Just a couple of things. I know I've lost some time there, but in terms of the hurdle, what we have here is 118 MR 1123 is still pending. Judge Fullerton denial order is still pending. We don't know if the Chicago are going to appeal that order. We don't have the trial yet. And so if and when they file an appeal and go before the court and get denied, that would be the end of it because Judge Fullerton denial order would be res judicata. Number two, with respect to 20L1507, the time to appeal their dismissal order is gone. It was back in January 27, 2022. And if they didn't do that then, it was gone since September 29, 2022. Well, 4 months later, not going to happen. So we have Anna Potter, a necessary party. She's the secretary. She's the director of the association. She has key to the clubhouse, offices, access to documents. And she didn't cooperate. And she wasn't sued. Why? Because there was an unauthorized release between the Chicago and Anna Ponte. We didn't know about that until a year later when Nationwide provided us a copy when we asked. Well, we got sued twice. And I asked Nationwide attorney, look, if there's any document, settlement between the Chicago and Anna Ponte or anything, I wanted to know. That's when we were provided with the settlement signed, changed, unauthorized by Beata Bogdanova, Chicago attorney, signed back in March of 2022, a year prior. We had no idea. Now, with respect to Nationwide appointed counsel, Catherine Weiler, she didn't protect her clients. What she did, she provided privileged communication to Nationwide. And Nationwide used that to file a motion for summary judgment in 18 MR1123, the same thing. And then when we asked her, hey, what's going on? She wouldn't tell us, she wouldn't tell my office anything. I mean, when you receive a privileged communication from a opposing counsel, whether by mistake or accident or whatever, you don't use it. You tell your opposing counsel, hey, you sent me privileged communication with your client. Is that a mistake or what? You know, I'm getting back to you. I haven't read it. That's the rule. You don't use to in court. That's not what happened here. Nationwide used to in court. Now, 2 minutes. Georgia Camp. Georgia, I think I have maybe 3 minutes or so. Joseph Kemp is a board of directors. She's not a secretary. Anna Ponte is. She's not the board president. She's not the president. She's not even the party to the Chicago lawsuit, the 18-1123. She's not even the party to the lawsuit of Nationwide Law. When she been sued, she went to Nationwide, called them directly and asked, hey, am I covered or not? What's going on? And she was told, don't worry about it. You're covered. The policy's still in effect. Nothing to concern about. Fine, don't worry. Ms. White then turned around and said, look, the policy was canceled. Factually, that was incorrect. Now, we didn't have any discovery because we were denied. This is before you the court on judgment on the pleading, so we have no discovery. And in the now letter sent to Georgia Kemp, they threatened. They didn't tell her, hey, go get your independent counsel. But again, what's going on? They didn't do that. And that the letter even In the stipulation, that was on page 87, 89 of the record. They told her to sign not only for herself, but on behalf of the association as well. And that's on page 89. She didn't sign that. And then one thing, one board director was in the hospital. She's in the 80s. She was in the hospital for months during COVID-19 in 2020. She had no family visit because that was in the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. No one can talk to her, even family members, they wouldn't allow any visit. Guess what? She being sued now in this court, in this case, because she was lay in bed in the hospital.
Duan, your time has expired. You'll have time in reply and to respond to the cross appeal. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Saragalas?
Saragalas, perfect, Your Honor. Thank you.
You may respond.
Okay, thank you. May it please the court. My name is Peter Saragalas. I represent Nationwide in this appeal. I do want to back up a little bit factually. I'm sure the court has read the briefs, specifically the statement of facts in my brief, and is familiar with the case, but I do want to back up a little bit. Nationwide, back in 2019, was allowed to intervene in case number 18-MR-1123, which from the record and from the briefs you'll see is one in a series of cases between the association, its board members, and its residents, specifically Teresa DiGiulio and Katarzyna DiGiulio. On April 14, 2020, Nationwide was granted summary judgment in that case and against the association after the circuit court found that there was a breach of the cooperation clause in Nationwide's policy. Nationwide asked for, and the circuit court granted, 304A language from that summary judgment order, and no appeal was ever taken. The current action, assigned case number 2021-MR-227, is a declaratory judgment action where Nationwide sought and obtained a declaration that it owed no duty to defend or indemnify the association and its board members in a lawsuit that was filed by the DiGiulios derivatively on behalf of the association members in the law division of DuPage County after the court in 2018-MR-1123 denied leave to file that derivative suit in that case. Here, the circuit court held that res judicata and collateral estoppel applied to bar the association and its board members from seeking a defense in the derivative suit because of the judgment that was entered in 2018-MR-1123. The way this case has developed is somewhat unique, and you know, the appellants try to paint in their briefs, especially a case of some sort of masterful design by Nationwide. And truth be told, Nationwide has been rolling with the punches in this case. And this case has developed in a very unique way. Back when tender of defense was made with respect to 18-MR-1123, Nationwide offered to defend and indemnify the association and the board members that were named in that suit without limitation up to the Nationwide policy limits. The appellants concocted a conflict whereby they contended that Nationwide could not appoint one attorney to represent all the interests of the defendants because of a supposed conflict with Ina Aponte. So in response, despite the fact that Nationwide believed that it had the right to control the defense, offered as a compromise to appoint two defense counsels, one to appoint the supposed conflicted member, Aponte, and another to represent the association and the other board members. Those offers were refused. Eventually, Nationwide had no choice but to move for a breach of its cooperation clause, because as the case developed, the appellants deterred settlements from actually taking effect that were entered in the case. One of those settlements was the settlement of the SICA complaint that was filed by the DiGiulios. And then there was another subsequent settlement entered between myself and Mr. Duck Dong, which gave Catherine Wheeler, who he mentioned in his argument, sole authority to control the defense of the association and the board members in 18 MR1123. In that case, after the summary judgment that Nationwide won in 18 MR1123, the DiGiulios then tried to file a derivative suit in that case. Judge Fullerton denied that. He did that without prejudice, and the DiGiulios then refiled in the law division. That's the case that Judge Fullerton here held Nationwide doesn't owe a duty to defend. The complaint here sets forth, obviously, three counts, res judicata and collateral estoppel applied to bar duties to defend. Then we argued in count two that even if res judicata and collateral estoppel didn't apply, the court could take judicial notice of its record in 18 MR1123 and find that the board members breached their independent duty to cooperate with Nationwide because of the their deterrence in actually consummating the settlements that were reached in the first case. That judgment now is obviously attacked here. The first argument that they make is that the identity of the parties. Now, again, I mentioned that this case has developed somewhat uniquely. The appellants complained that we didn't name all of the board members in the first suit. And the reason why we didn't do that is because the board members, the individually named board members in 18 MR1123, actually accepted the defense of Nationwide. There was no reason for us to sue them. Who we did sue was the association. But res judicata and collateral estoppel apply because the association, of course, is an inanimate legal entity that can't take any action without the action of its board members. Now, in this case, we alleged, and all of the defendants admitted, that they were board members during all of the operative events in 18 MR1123. And so it's our contention that even if they weren't named in the first suit, that they are responsible for the breach of the cooperation clause. And of course, privity is a satisfactory way in order to satisfy res judicata and collateral estoppel. I don't think that there's any serious argument against the identity of the causes of action. I don't think that there's any serious argument made with finality of the summary judgment that was obtained in 18 MR1123 in favor of Nationwide. They do raise fairness concerns. The fairness concerns, and that sort of ties into the offensive application of collateral estoppel versus the defensive application of collateral estoppel. You know, courts are warned not to apply offensive collateral estoppel unless it's fair in the case. This is an insurance coverage action. If Nationwide had sat on its hands and not filed a declaratory judgment suit, at some point it would have been accused of waiving its coverage defenses and or estoppel. So Nationwide really had no choice other than to file a suit to stand on the judgment that it previously obtained in 18 MR1123. So in a sense, although technically this is offensive collateral estoppel, the practical effect, and collateral estoppel is an equitable doctrine, this is more like defensive collateral estoppel because it involves an insurance company. The other fairness concern that they raise, again, is that, for some reason, the judgment 18MR1123 that Nationwide obtained is somehow void because we didn't name the DiGiulios. The DiGiulios were already part of the suit, of course. So all of the parties against whom were necessary parties or, fairness concerns regarding res judicata and collateral estoppel, everyone was present in 18MR1123. No one was robbed of their opportunity to be heard or anything like that. So application of collateral estoppel and res judicata in this case is perfectly fair. Mr. Duck Dong is correct that the trial court here entered judgment on counts one and count two of Nationwide's complaint. And did not feel it necessary to reach count three, finding that count three was mooted by counts one, the judgment on counts one and count two. This court, of course, I believe should affirm based on res judicata and collateral estoppel and in the alternative on count two, which is independent application of the breach of the cooperation clause. But it can affirm on any basis in the record. And I think that you can look at count three and the complaint that was filed derivatively and the exclusions that we cited and find the duty to defend is barred. The first count of the derivative action alleges that the directors are liable for failure to maintain fidelity insurance because of the summary judgment Nationwide obtained in 18 MR 1123. Count two of the DiGiulio's derivative complaint alleges that the directors are liable for their failure to comply with SECA. Count three alleges misappropriation of funds for personal profit. And count four is for self-dealing and discrimination in that the directors took action for their own benefit at the expense of the association. Now, we've cited a number of exclusions in our brief. Those are found in the record at C156. I'll point the court directly to exclusion E, which excludes any coverage for transactions of any insured, including the board members, gaining a personal profit or advantage not shared equitably by the owners. The complaint fits squarely in that. I want to address the mootness argument. Mr. Duck Dong is contending that, you know, this case is moot because the derivative suit has now been dismissed without prejudice. It seems like he searched the docket, as did I, prior to this oral argument, and there was activity in the case in September of 2022. The suit was dismissed without prejudice, so there is a year to refile. If the case is indeed moot, it begs the question of why Mr. Duck Dong hasn't yet dismissed his appeal. There's also the issue, as we raised in our brief, of defense costs. There's been no withdrawal of defense. There's been no indication that they're willing to walk away from the defense fees. In fact, I'm fairly certain that they want those. So the case is not moot by any means. It's still very much live. There's defense costs at issue, and the court should proceed to rule on these issues and affirm. Now, we've raised in our cross appeal the whole record is marred by supposed conspiracy theories, you know, spun by the defendant's counsel. Ms. Wheeler apparently betrayed her clients. I was apparently a bad person for withholding a settlement agreement that I never had possession of, and which I turned over to Mr. Duck Dong the second he asked it for me. I got it from defense counsel and gave it to him right away. That was the first time I ever saw it. They paint some sort of grand scheme. And they really doubled down on those efforts in their motion to reconsider. They published a ARDC response of Ms. Wheeler. They have accused me of incredible malfeasance. In their briefs to this court, they do the same thing. Judge Fullerton, in denying my motion for sanctions, mentioned that he believed that the arguments put forth by Mr. Duck Dong in this case were animated by his personal animosity toward me, yet still denied the sanctions motions. I'm asking the court to look at the things said about myself and Mrs. Wheeler and Nationwide's need to respond to those things and to enter sanctions on its own under rules 366A5 and 375. Unless the court asks questions, I'm gonna rest until my reply.
Any questions from the court?
A couple. Mr. Sergalis, you indicated that in the underlying the 18-1123 lawsuit, you did not name the individual directors. And right. You also said the reason for that was that you still provided coverage to them. Am I correct about that?
We hired Ms. Wheeler to defend the board members that were named in 18 MR 1123, and we moved for judgment on the breach of the cooperation clause when it became apparent that the directors and the association were not going to comply with the defense.
But your argument here in response to the fact that they were not named in the DACA action was that you were still representing, defending them?
My response is that when we intervened, they had accepted the defense provided by Nationwide, so there was no reason to sue them. I suppose we could have moved at the end of the case to amend the judgment to conform to the proofs. But we didn't feel it necessary because of the privity between. So I believe that Judge Fullerton and my motion for summary judgment asked for judgment against Schratza and the other board members, Perry. But we didn't feel it necessary to move to conform the judgment to the proofs in that case because of the privity argument that, you know, it was going to be res judicata collateral estoppel in any event because the actions of the association are controlled by its board members.
Thank you. And then my second question is, there are several motions with the case to take judicial notice of orders in the other case. Do you have an opinion as to those?
No, I think it's perfectly, we did object to the judicial notice, but I think it's perfectly permissible for the court to look at the orders in the law division case. And there's also a motion to strike my reply brief. I'll ask that be denied, which was also taken in the case.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Sergelis.
Thank you, Ron.
Any other questions from the court?
I have none.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Dick Dewan, you may reply.
I mean myself.
Yeah, you did. You're not right.
Sorry, Josh. I'm going to be responding to a couple points here. Number one, counsel said there are two settlements, one with the regular, one with the association, and they will pay. Well, here's the problem. The payment for the regular was paid to the attorney, $1,500. There wasn't any payment with respect to whatever the settlement that counsel just mentioned with respect to the association that we actually have defended ourselves prior to that comment, and we actually obtained a dismissal of count 5, which is the foundational leak dismissal with prejudice. So we had expended time and money to do it. They claim it's settled. We paid, or they're going to pay something, never happened. Now, counsel also mentioned with respect to Mr. Wild. We didn't know when they consented to Ms. Wild to represent them. We didn't know that she was limited. She disclosed that information to the LIDC when two board directors, Carol Schrader and Kathy Perry, filed a complaint with LIDC with respect to the providing the previous information communication to Nationwide. We had no idea until we see that response from Ms. Weller to the LIDC stating clearly, by the way, I can do what I want to do. And second, I was limited in terms of representation by Nationwide. We had no idea. Now, as it should, we want the full representation, not some limited representation that we have no idea. And we didn't know that. Now, he also mentioned about that we didn't withdraw the claim. Well, I think that's a moot issue now because the underlying claim already dismissed. There's nothing to withdraw. It's gone. Now, counsel also mentioned, well, maybe they can refile it and they didn't appeal. Well, they can't do that because the dismissal based on lack of standing is dismissal on the merit. It has to be appealed by the checkerer. And the time for the checkerer to appeal was way past. The other, I think counsel also mentioned about that the association didn't appeal the judgment in 18 MR1123 when they obtained the summary judgment. Here's why. And this is where we get to the offensive use of the res judicata. The judgment against the association, even with respect to the Chiquillo, was a non-monetary judgment. There was no money in it. It was a productional document. And we had provided all the documents. We had provided, we filed all the documents into the court record. And then I didn't get it. Counsel, Bill McNamara, saying the same thing. We have email evidence provided by Fullerton. He denied it. He said, I don't care. Give it to them. We gave it to them. Thousands of documents filed in the court record in 18 MR1123 that we're not finished yet. So we decided not to appeal because there's no money in there. It's a waste of time and money. And that's why. Also, there was no judgment against board rights. It was just against the corporation, the name insured of the deed and our policy. That's the reason they didn't appeal. If the board director was joined, as board directors had the personal judgment against them in the previous lawsuit, police the courtroom and the 18 MR1123, they would have appealed it. Now, maybe I can, you know, I can represent on the appeal. I don't know. Or maybe someone else. But they have no response at the time. Ms. Wilder, immediately after the judgment was granted to Nationwide in 18 MR1123, she filed a motion to withdraw. And she said, look, Judge, this thing is gone. I want out. And Judge Fulton granted it. So they had no legal representation at all on it. But then again, we decided not to appeal because it's a non-monetary judgment. No point in doing wasting money. In the second lawsuit, the checker won $50,000 based on false allegations. Even as of today, we didn't have discovery. Why? Because they couldn't prove it. They dismissed it. They were dismissed, and then they're subject to claim because they couldn't find an attorney who would continue their previous lawsuit. That's why.
Your time is up, Mr. Dicton.
Thank you, Judge.
Red light is on. Okay, thank you. Mr. Sirigalis, do you have a reply?
Yes, Your Honor. Just a few points I wanted to clarify. So, you know, I think based on the record in the briefs, you can see that the association is somewhat misinterpreting how far the duty to defend goes. And the breach of the cooperation clause judgment was obtained because basically they tried to direct how Nationwide would use its own funds to settle the suit. There's a duty to defend. Usually that gives up control to the insurance company and they can settle the case or they can litigate it in a way that they see fit. That's exactly what didn't happen here. So they wanted, basically it was a setup to get Mr. Duck Dong's defense fees paid without giving the benefit of Nationwide controlling the defense, which it committed to do. And that's what led to the breach of the cooperation clause. The limited representation, it's not, they didn't tender some of the claims that were in 18MR1123 to Nationwide. And that's why Ms. Wheeler didn't represent them on those counts. They wanted Mr. Duck Dong representing them as to specific counts that were filed in the Giglio counterclaim. So whatever was tendered to Nationwide, Ms. Wheeler defended. That wasn't limited in any sort of way. And that goes back into feeding into how far they think the duty to defend goes. You know, it goes so far, and I gave the example of their arguments are akin to telling an insurance company not to settle a slip and fall at a restaurant for $5,000 because that then encourages people to take dives on the restaurant's property. You can't do that. If you tender a defense to an insurance company, you give up control of that lawsuit. Not only is that the principle that goes, but there were settlements in this case reached for that specific purpose where Mr. Duck Dong committed to giving up control of the defense of the tendered claims to Ms. Wyler. He wouldn't get out of the way. The board members interfered with that. And that's what led to the breach of the cooperation clause. And I want to get back to Justice Heddle's question regarding the naming of the board members in the first suit. You know, some of the board members weren't named in 18MR1123. Georgia Kemp is one of them specifically. Absent clairvoyance, there was no way that we could have named Georgia Kemp in 18MR1123. She wasn't sued by the Giglios. And that's why the privity argument really is important, because even if we had amended the pleadings to conform to the proofs in 18MR1123, for example, to name Shracha, who was a defendant in 18MR1123, we'd be here anyway today because Kemp wasn't named in 11MR1123. So that's why privity becomes super, super important. And, you know, an association can take no action absent its board members. And that's why res judicata and collateral estoppel here apply, because they tried to direct how Nationwide would settle this case. It spun out of control. And now they're trying to get us to pay for Mr. Duck Dong's defense fees after we appointed very capable defense counsel to handle the case. And I touching back on our sanctions appeal, you know, I think that the record and the briefs just paint a story of someone who has made unfounded attacks on my integrity and Ms. Weiler's integrity and Nationwide's integrity. And I think that we ought to get our fees for responding to those arguments back. Thank you.
Questions from the court? Any?
No.
No?
No questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, counsel, both for your arguments in this matter this afternoon. It will be taken under advisement and a written disposition shall issue.